call for nominations from the committee members.
I'm Susan Lamin Dubasana. I nominate Honorable Manali Soma to be the acting chair of this session.
Thank you, ma'am. Second. Thank you, Honorable Member. Velva. Her name is Nevo. Sorry for the page. Let's say.
Neil Druchen. Neil Druchen.
Good morning, honorable members and colleagues. We are mostly welcome, all of us, and thank you once more. I requested Sis Mulela to double check with the administration on this process so that we are administratively correct. Nobody challenges whatever processes that we engage on as a committee. It could sound like a tedious, useless process, but we have to see to ensure that we are in compliance with the rules of the parliament. Having said that, all of us were mostly welcome. We do have some few apologies. The first apology that we have is the Honorable Minister Khatebe. There's a newly established IMC to deal with the university fees. Not fees must fall. It's not it's not their work to fall, to make the fees fall, but to deal with the higher education fees. And he's chairing that IMC, hence then he's not here today. But I have been advised that the DM is on his way, which he will be mostly welcome. And furthermore, we do have an apology from Honorable Nyami Boyi. He's abroad. Honorable Dombela, yesterday he was hospitalized, having a knee operation. Honorable Marvin Dex, he's hospitalized also. From the other parties, we haven't. It's only Honorable Mende that apologized once more for today again. She's attending other committees. Other than that, Sis Mulelo, any other apologies that you know of? Okay, thank you so much. Honorable Dubazan.
No, thank you, Chair. Mr. Mwabe said he may not, because he's running other committees, the Honorable Mwabe.
Probably let's leave the may and might. Let's just note it as an apology, because he is also doing parliamentary work, which will be the same like Honorable Mente. Thank you. We do have an agenda before us, and I'm sure other departments, the PME, I'm sure that StatSA has negotiated with you. They are requesting that the population needs to be counted, and they've got a flight to catch. I don't know where they are going to count the population, but somewhere outside this province. But on a serious note, we would like to take StatSA firstly. Just to recap from yesterday, because normally we do receive a report, the MPAT report from Treasury, from Auditor General. It's Auditor General first, because Auditor General, in terms of their findings and also any issues that they would like to draw attention to the Portfolio Committee. They did it yesterday afternoon after the DPSA. Hence, then we will not be looking at that, and I believe that all of us, honourable members, we do have copies of that report, which will assist us when we engage with the departments, as it may. And then we are not expecting anyone from Auditor General to be here today. I'm not too sure. Do we have anybody from Treasury? No, there's no need for now. So then, which means it brings us to StatSA. SG, up to you. and introduce your members, your team. I've noticed that we have brought all the compliment, all your soldiers to be here.
Yes,
they must account why are they here so that we know which what role do they play in the space of that. Thanks.
Honourable Members, Chair, we are pleased to be here. Let me introduce the team. I've brought quite a big number here. I'm sure that we do have financial constraints. We are aware of that and alive to that fact. But at moments such as this one, it's crucial that the leadership of the organization presents itself. So that's what we prioritize. I mean, you are not likely to come all the time in these numbers, but at the tabling of the annual report to the Portfolio Committee and the tabling of our work program, those are the two moments when I believe it's crucial to bring the entire team. Otherwise, the rest of the time, it can be two or three people coming. So let me start from my...
Can you just switch off yours? There will be no bioscope showing here somewhere because of the technology, the IT system is letting it down. So I hope anyone who doesn't have the presentation, then they must just indicate, we'll try and provide. So we'll be taking from the hard copies. Thanks, SG. I'm sorry about that.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. On my left is Celia de Klerk. She's head of strategy. We have the deputy chair of Statistics Council. The Statistics Act provides for the statistician general, the Statistics Council, and the minister. And the deputy chair of Statistics Council is here, Ian Kassam. Further on is Deputy Director General Risenga Marileke, responsible for international relations, statistical development, it's a long title, which involves also provinces. It has a short title, but it has international relations, communications and marketing, and provinces. Yes, those are the, that's the detail. I'm not sure whether there is anybody, and then I move to the back. Moving to the back from the end there is Jody B.S., responsible for economic statistics. Next to him is Actor Rehenning, who is responsible for corporate services, DDG. Next to her is Lux. Yes, Lux. he's responsible and acting in the position of Deputy Director General Informatics and Statistical Support. And then next to him is the CFO, Becky Mpanza. Matunzo. No, you know, we had a Becky Mpanza who was in education. Next to him is Ms. Annette Myberg, who is responsible for program and projects, including project training in the organization. She does it all the time, and we have about 400 or 500 staff members who have gone through that. Next to her is Yandiswa Mpecheni, acting DDG for the National Statistics System. Next to Yandi is Kifido Masiteng, responsible for population and demographic statistics. And finally, Trevor Ustevic, who is Chief Director Communications. Now, Madam Chair, in the absence of a bioscope, it makes the communication a little difficult, so we'll go slide by slide. This is the annual report 2015-2016. There are five areas, seven areas that we'll cover, and we'll cover them very fast.
I should have done this before, but you're introducing your team. I'm sorry again. Is to say what we'll request from your side and anyone who's going to do the presentation, to take us through the presentation, that we're dealing with the year that was, which is 2015-16. We will request to give us highlights. I know with SSA there are lots of highlights that will assist us also when, as the departments, and even when we do our oversight. Ensure that to give us those ones, not all of them, because they are on our reports. Secondly, the challenges, if they are, don't craft them today, but if they are, Thirdly, the financial spending pattern and whatever within the financials that you would like us to pay attention on, or any assistance from us as the portfolio committee that deals with oversight. If there are any other areas that are disagreements with the treasury in particular, what are those disagreements, if there are any? Are they policy related, or is the change ever changing reporting criteria that the treasury introduces? And have you overcome those issues? What role do you think we must do so that we can rescue that situation? We will really appreciate if you can just focus on those ones. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I will move with a lot of speed, having been given that guidance. There are seven areas, and the first four are already reported on. I think item number 5, 6, and 7, risks, value add, and key priorities are the areas where we will spend a bit of time. The slide number 3, or is it number 3? Yes, it's slide number 3, which has those pictures, just tells us the story of State SA and where we are. We started as a very weak organization, moved on, and then we've given phases in this space, 1994 to 98, 99 to 2004, 2005 to 2009, 2010 to 2014.
1 second, SG, let's, okay, no, I've forgotten. That is, this is, okay, just, may we welcome the DM through Honorable Matibazan. Yeah, you see, when you've got grown-up kids, they justify you. Matibazan, you have lost. Welcome, DM. We did indicate that you'll be joining us. Thanks so much for coming. Over, we are dealing with SSA here, just started. Thank you. We don't have Biscope, so you'll use your hard copies. If you don't, just indicate, we'll provide. Thank you.
The phase five is where really the work is collaborative. We are dealing with collaboration, and collaboration is very challenging. And under collaboration is where we will be talking on the way forward. We are a maturing organization, but in that maturity, the challenges are around how do we collaborate in that space, which is very, very complex. And that's why we need to look at statistical reform, legislative reforms in statistics, in order to manage the collaborative mode that we have to go into. In terms of audit outcomes, we give a trail of how we have performed in terms of audit outcomes, with the exception of 2011, 2012, where we got qualified, largely because of the census. Of course, we can't say our own work cost us problems. We have to make sure that we get clean audits all the time. We actually confirm the trajectory that we have been through, including, therefore, the collaborative mode. In terms of the delivery, we have delivered on key projects that we set our minds on in 2015-2016. We highlight the key projects because they are transformative and that they are deepening the transformation. The rest of the work is a run-of-the-mill kind of work. We released 234. We make 244 releases. That means every day StatsSA releases something of significance to policy and the general public of South Africa. But the key project that we are mentioning here in 2015-16 is really the citizen satisfaction survey, which we released for KwaZulu-Natal, a very important survey that gives insights into how the delivery systems and the political sphere and the discourse towards deepening democracy probably needs to change. That's what these results actually say. One of the key things that are not in the presentation, of course, is that if you look at levels of satisfaction on things like housing, on water, housing, electricity and sanitation, it's so dispersed that it shows weaknesses in the planning of the IDPs. That for the same municipality, the satisfaction is so dispersed on those units, which should come as a package. So that's an important indicator there that needs attention. The community service, We released the community survey in June. We went into field before the end of financial year, and within a very short space of time, we released the community survey. And this was because of very, very deep transformation where we went electronic using devices and bypassing a whole other lot of stages. The GDPE, that was released in June, where we took over the expenditure side of the GDP from the Reserve Bank, and the governor and myself agreed on this program. It took us 3 years to get to that point. Interactive tools such as the growth accounting framework, the supply and use tables, the social accounting matrix, and the ZIF are things that we are putting together in order to assist the capacity of the state to plan. Here, again, I must say that the GDP, when it's released, everybody just looks at the headline figure. It's minus 0.1, it's minus 1.3, it's 3.3%, everybody is happy, of course. Minus 1.3, everybody is sad. The GDP is an underutilized instrument. It is a very important instrument for planning, because underneath and undergirding it is a supply and use table, which gives you what are the products, how are those products supplied and where are they applied. And that already gives you an input-output table. Your Leontief input-output analysis is based on that. And the social accounting matrix, which tells you who are the beneficiaries of programs of development, either through salaries and wages to households or individuals. So those are instruments that we are putting together at the service of the of government. Digital workplace, I've already spoken about it, that we have delivered that. New building, we've just moved into the new building, and we would like you to come, and when the minister and the arrangements are made for the opening of the building. And then, of course, legislative reform is in progress. The next slide is on work program and targets. We discontinued 6, 182 not achieved, 24 achieved late. Targets achieved is 869, and that's in 1,081 targets. And of course, what we have in terms of allocated allocation of the budget, expenditure 2.27 against allocation of 2.32 billion, vacancies 375. Positions 54 of those frozen, and field post 3,197. SMS posts 94 are female out of a total of 233 posts, and 41 staff are with disabilities. In terms of percentages on delivery, 80% of the targets have been achieved, 17% not achieved, and 2% achieved late, and 1% of those achieved late. So 40% of females in SMS, 1.3 is staff with disability. And the vacancy rate has been maintained at about 8.9%, and we'll come back to that as we go to the key challenges. The next slide is targets not achieved. We elaborate on those. Out of the 182 targets that we said were not achieved, 23 of those were partially achieved. In terms of impact of targets not achieved, there are 7, and those are under 1% of the high impact targets in the targets that have not been achieved. And the key reasons for this have been reprioritizing resources towards the community survey, and also improving on the ICT environment. So those were strategic shifts to ensure that we are more effective, operationally effective, as well as efficient. And that is reflected in the release of the CS, which took us about 8 weeks. That would have taken us a year to go to field, process, and deliver. This we delivered within 8 weeks. And it was a good platform, I'm sure, for elections. It informed the nation. Now, under measuring the economy, there are things that we do that impact directly, and we are going into that. Measuring the economy, we have those kinds of theory, trade, and industry statistics, government financial statistics, national accounts, and we'll come to the challenges in respect of this, private sector financial statistics, and the question of price stability, particularly the CPI. We will elaborate on the challenges of that later. But this is what we are doing under measuring the economy. Measuring society, we have poverty and inequality, and the as part of poverty and inequality, we'll come to the challenges that confront us and what interventions may members have to make. Labor statistics, health and vital statistics, social statistics, population statistics. And then, of course, in terms of just increasing trust in statistics, we have methodological competencies, and in the implementation of the new methodology for community survey, we were more efficient, we delivered on time, the quality was better, access was much more improved. And of course, the question here was we tested this in the CSS in KwaZulu-Natal, which gave us the confidence that we can go the route we went. And of course, our main focus now is to inform stakeholders, to inform the public, to make the data visible, accessible, and the like. And you will see a lot of that as we move into the media and also in close discussions with the particular stakeholders to talk about what the implications of the results are. As far as an organization being a capable one, I'm sure you would have seen in our progression that we are a maturing organization. What have we done there? We have 4 out of 5 unqualified audits in the past 5 years. Human resources, we have kept vacancy rate at less than 8.9. We have got a new building that we are, and we also have a new logo, this one. It's a drum. Yeah, it is. Yes, we will. DDG Helen, you have, can you distribute to honorable members the drum? corporate governance, we actually monitor strategic risks, fraud prevention and compliance, and management and accountability. Particularly, I mean, Madam Chair, when we look at the new building, this team here sat and decided on who would get what was the best design. They decided on that. They then decided on the fact that the DDG Henning Corporate Services will go and occupy that space from day one when the building started until it was delivered. So it was not a building that was built by somebody and then we came and occupied. No, it was monitored tightly and there is no price escalation. And it's important to note that because it shows that government can actually go into a PPP and deliver value. There are many stories around that. And then, of course, management and accountability. Well-established strategic performance and project management. And Ms. Maybeck here takes a lot of time and interest in the staff. And for the past 10 years of, not 10, 13 years, she stands in class and teaches people project management. And now we are beginning to see the value and benefits of project management and the program approach to our work. Well, now, a better South Africa in a better Africa and the world. What are the indicators there? National statistics development indicators for the NDP, we have worked on that, and the MTSF. We worked on the partnership with organs of state and the national, the legislative reform will be an important instrument. We have designated the statistician general, the statistics as official, and also looks at the quality of statistics through what is called South Africa Statistics Quality Assessment Framework. Under the same better South Africa and the better better South Africa, better Africa and the better world, we work on African statistical development, and we have worked on the 2063 agenda, aligned those to NDP. We've looked at the strategies for financing and technology. We are looking at civil registration and vital statistics, and of course the African passport, the universal AU passport, depends largely on how well the civil registration and vital statistics is. Because unless you know the people, you cannot, when they are born, you cannot credibly issue an AU passport. We've got to know that, and that we are working on civil registration. And then, of course, we have the Young African Statistician conferences, and the Deputy Minister has always been invited to come and open those African conferences because he's focused on the youth. And then at the global level, we have been working on the indicators for the SDGs, and we organized workshops for us to work in STEP as Africa. And by the way, next year, from the 15th to the 18th, we have the UN World Data Forum to be hosted here in Cape Town, the first United Nations World Data Forum. What is important about this is, what does the world of data imply? And what is important that South Africa and Africa should take a very clear position. Fortunately, the heads of states have taken the position. Ministers of finance planning have taken the same position. The difficulty is that these things, the position has been taken, but nothing is being implemented on the position. The World Data Forum, I think, gives us an opportunity to try and push the bar higher on this. The issue is that the world of data is a very complex one. As statistics, we use these technologies to collect data. And if these technologies are not governed, our souls will be sold. And the world of technology will be, you'll see the tyranny of technology taking over the democracy. Because right now, Google and Microsoft and Apple know where I am as a South African, wherever I am. And we don't have influence or any power to decide on this. The FBI case between FBI and Apple is very instructive. That the American government and FBI and Apple may decide on one or the other solutions to the problem they face. But that solution means it's a solution for the whole world. But it's not negotiated. And we need a process by which all big and small are around the table to negotiate those kinds of difficult things. If we don't have that safe platform, technology will be a tyrant against democracy. And statistics and the independence of statistical production will be subjected to that. So it's a very dangerous specter to the world. So the first UN World Data Forum gives us the opportunity to articulate this and follow through on the decisions of heads of states and their ministers to make this center stage in terms of international law, international practice, protocols, and so on. And the UN has to see how it plays a role here. Financial performance, growth trends, we have that there. In the 2015-2016, we moved into the new building. Our money is about 2.2 million, and we peaked in 2016-2017 to 2.5 billion because of the community survey, which cost us about 500 million. The next slide is a pie chart that shows our allocations and expenditure. And the administration takes into account accommodation, fleet, capital contribution, centralized training and recruitment. So it is that big because it is taking care of all those things. If we were to redistribute that, you'll see the distribution making administration very small. But we have centralized administration because we have a program and project management system that enables us to centralize and monitor as implementation continues. Performance in terms of financial performance, expenditure per economic classification, compensation of employees about 56%, 57%. Obviously, we are an intellectual organization that processes intellectual products. So expenditure there naturally becomes much higher because we are a lot more people driven organization. Where do we stand financially? And here are where our risks are. We cost-cutting measures, we have been doing this since 2007 already. I saw that bonuses were cut or not paid by some universities or what. We did that in 2008 and said management will not get bonuses because of the financial crisis. So cost-cutting has been part and parcel of our work. What have we done with the savings from this cost-cutting and vacancies? We ran the income and expenditure survey and living condition survey. We improved our master sample, and also we covered the shortfall on devolution of funds. So that's what we used the money for, from vacancies. Now we face a very difficult situation because Treasury is taking over those vacancies. So immediately those vacancies, money for those vacancies is taken. Then we have an overexpenditure. We are forced to have an overexpenditure. We have surrendered a number of vacancies already, but any other surrendering of vacancies means that we have to retrench, and government doesn't have a process by which it retrenches. So an organization cannot take a unilateral process to undertake that. So we are in a very precarious situation here. So what is the impact? I've said that key priority projects such as IES and LCS may not be run because we depend on that money to run those. Importantly, the income and expenditure survey is a survey that informs the consumer price index. If we don't run it, the consumer price index will be in danger, and we know the consequences of that because in 2003 we saw that. We lost 50 billion in government, and the private sector suffered 10 billion. I was running the CPI, I was already the head of the organization. I know the consequences of that. The terror it brings to society, the terror it brings to yourself personally, it's just incredible. How it diminishes the stature of an organization. So we are facing a situation where the stature of SSA, they believe in the trust in the numbers is going to be corroded. So we have that kind of a problem. That's the impact. And so there are reputational risks, I think, where we stand now in the system. We have earned the status, but we need to sustain that status of a trusted organization, trusted statistics, and we need to be transparent in what we do. So what are the financial risks? It's really about a sustained delivery of quality products when the baseline is cut. We are actually working on efficiencies through innovation and, of course, funding emerging measurement priorities. One of those is the trade statistics. That has to be funded. It's absolutely crucial that we fund that. And there are many others that need funding that in there. So what is the position of SSA? We used to fund income and expenditure survey and GDPE from cost of employees. But now we don't have that latitude. And we have just taken the GDPE from the National Treasury. The question is, why did we have to take it if we can't sustain it? Means that that whole activity that took us 3 years to get to, and that was rationally based, can actually go up in flames. And in terms of impact, as I said, inflation rate, economic growth, poverty line, and indicators will no longer be known. In terms of growth through coordination, here we are looking at agriculture and many other things are happening at municipal level, at province level, that need a lot of coordination, and the wastage can be avoided by just coordinating. For instance, agricultural sense. I've been talking to the Eastern Cape and saying to them, no, we need a national agricultural census, not a province agricultural census. It doesn't help to do so. But the province wants to go ahead. And if we say no, they'll get somebody to go ahead. So the center is failing to hold. That's the problem. And as a national statistics system, we cannot allow the center not to hold, because if we run an agricultural census in the Eastern Cape, we do not know what is happening in KwaZulu-Natal. Yet the two provinces articulate and process agricultural products, export and import to other provinces. They have a lot of interactions, and if you don't have line of sight of that, then an agricultural census in the Eastern Cape is a useless expenditure. The citizen satisfaction survey, we ran it in KwaZulu-Natal. It needs to be run across the country simultaneously so that we get insights across municipalities. It can't be one municipality here that can afford, such as Gauteng and another, or Joe Metro and the like. It has to be a national effort. And then, of course, the use of administrative records. So that's a very important. Obviously, in the new building, we have a national processing center. We are starting with records from Home Affairs. And those records go 100 years back. They have to be digitized and brought to the same level. And that center is a national center, and it has to be used. And, of course, that will form the statistical base for the for the state. Geography. The constitutional judgment, an interesting one, that says there must be addresses. Addresses are not the responsibility of state SSA. But because of need, we had to create them and generate them successively over censuses. Now, the decision has been state SSA should lead that process of addresses. But there are no funds for it. And there are funds that are in other departments. And the problem is once a department has some funds, it doesn't comply with the governance arrangements of addresses. And that's a problem, a big one. And we need to define who should be responsible for addresses. It's local government. But they are in a very weak position at the moment to drive that. We are prepared to drive that and hand over to a responsibility, the responsibility to whoever should be responsible. But at the moment, I see dangers in implementing the constitutional imperative of Justice Mokgweng Mokgweng on ensuring that the addresses prior 2019 national elections. This is the danger that we are facing at the moment. And of course, there is just too much duplication on of GIS efforts, and the spatial planning is just incoherent. These are the big problems that we see, and through this instrument that we are putting together, I think there is the likelihood to support the national effort of the DPME in terms of planning and strengthening that. So that is where we bring the social accounting matrix, the GAF, the ZIF, and the supply and use tables to buttress the planning capability in the state. These tools are very, very important. And then we can identify inefficiencies in the system and, of course, mitigate incoherent policy decisions and outcomes. Legislative reform will focus on five things: statistical geography, data revolution, statewide statistical service, institutional arrangements, and protocols. This we will be reporting to yourself in November. And of course, key strategic priorities are legislative reform, providing policy with statistics that can be used, looking at economic statistics subsystems, particularly the environment and economic statistics and trade statistics and GDP. Those are the priority areas that in economic statistics, but also the CPI because it's in danger. In terms of innovation and modernization, we are moving into using technology as a strategic enabler. Social statistics, we are moving into continuous population surveys, CRVS, civil registration and vital statistics, and then, of course, planning for 2021 census. The data revolution, we have already said we are hosting the first United Nations World Data Forum, in which we must discuss the dangers that technology brings in governance and democracies. And the international statistical development, we are looking at the SDGs Africa Agenda 2063, and all those depend on data revolution. But the dangers that technology brings with it need to be mitigated. Of course, we are inviting yourself. And finally, Madam Chair, in the printed version of the document that you have, the annual report, it has errors in it. And we want to bring to your attention those particular errors. They are on page 150, page 213, page 219, and they are typos, page 220, page 227, and page 238. They have already been corrected on the electronic version. They are typos. You will see the numbers, how they look. You'll see that an additional 5 was done. So we did a bad job in terms of editing the report. But having discovered it, we have corrected it on the electronic version, and we apologize for that. I thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you so much, SG. Members, let's engage with the report, the year that was. I'll start
far end, Honorable Velma. And I'm sure this time around, Honorable Velma will also go to the space of other sectors of the community. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. I just want to say again here, it is difficult for me to formulate questions if I do not have documents, hard copies. Annual report I have not received, so it's difficult. Now that it was said that there's an electronic version, I'll go check that. But the hard copies, as this one I've got here, of Stats SA. Okay, I didn't receive this prior to, but it is now in the electronic version, so I will go check that. Thank you. So it's difficult to study that, to assist in preparation for questions. But a few then that came up while the SC was delivering. Okay, linking to slide 7, looking at the high impact targets, can I just get clarity on that? What does that mean, high impact targets? If you could please explain that one. Also, the percentage of people with disabilities, in what level, job levels are they? If I can get, of course, I hope, SD, that the target is always 2%, although 2% is very little. If I can just get an indication of which job levels people with disabilities within the organization is at. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Velma. Honorable Murray.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to make sure that I understand gentlemen correctly in the sense that since 2008 up to now you have various cuts in staff complements and as well as budgeting. That further cuts will actually have a serious impact on your efficiency as Stats SA, is that correct? Yes. And the next census is that in 2021? Can you up to now maybe give us, I know it's not a thorough study, but what is the population of the 9 provinces by province? Is it possible? Yeah.
Thank you so much. But I'm sure when he responds also, he will also remind us that on your quarterly report also should reflect so that it will be more updated. Yeah, thank you. Honorable Van Hayes, days in.
Yeesh. Thank you, Chief.
Oh, wow.
Thank you. Van der Westen.
All my excitement. How?
And Prata
Well, if your first name is Sesa Mutopo, then Van der Westhuizen is an easy one to pronounce. So, Chair, through you to the Statistician General, I have heard him refer more than once that to the dangers of technology. Now, I've learned that your audit committee apparently has raised a red flag regarding the IT infrastructure of the Statistician General. Now, from my perspective, I think an office such as yourself probably relies heavily on IT and connectivity and the ability to be able to deal with vast inputs, etc. Is that a concern to you? Do you share the views of the audit committee? Is there something in the pipeline to resolve this issue? And how will you deal with the move into, I think you're still moving into your new offices, so it still needs to happen. And that, sorry, just correct me, have you already moved? Yeah, okay, good. So that at least that disruption has been put behind you. But in terms of your ongoing processes, do you envisage that you will need to spend a lot of money on IT far more than in the past? If you could just tell us, how will you accommodate that in your budget, please? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Umta.
Thank you, Chair.
questions and maybe a comment. I think I made it the last time. Now, every time you speak to us, I get this feeling that you deeply concerned about things as they are in the country. Does the cabinet get the sense when you talk to them? Because there are really several red flags that you flag all the time. I hear you, and I'm just wondering whether those who should hear you also hear you the way I do. It's just a comment. The question I have here is, and you raised another red flag when you referred to the living condition survey. It was unfunded, and you're saying it may not be done in future because of the situation where you don't have funds. If these things are important, and we know they're important, why don't we have them in the system like any other one so that they can be planned for in advance and money provided for them? Because therein lies the danger that you are raising with us. And I'm just wondering how that happens. The other issue that I have is about sick leave. I believe you guys have a serious sick leave problem there. I know the values are high, the amounts of money, days lost and stuff like that. I'm just asking now, because you are the statistician general and you hold these kinds of surveys, have you tried to establish why there are so many people who go sick in the department, and maybe that can be something we can extrapolate to the nation? Thank you.
Honorable Mazamin, thank you so much, Honorable Chairperson, and thank you from the Department of SSA, the team, the whole family, and DM leading the delegation. Welcome and thank you. Chairperson, there are a few things which I think the DM needs to answer as the leader of this delegation. Because I think they are beyond the SG's powers. But the others will be relevant to your task. If you look at the citizen satisfactory survey that you did using the high tech, which we really appreciate, you have said you have tested that survey. It was measured, it was tested. It would be interesting to know the measurement scale that was used. It's not that I'm questioning the quality of the outcomes, but it would be interesting to know it, because you'll find that maybe tomorrow or next day you're not going to be in that department, and somebody decides maybe we have used what? You have used the PET test, or you have used whatever measurement that you've used. And somebody decided to come and use a different, totally different measurement, and then we end up having not consistent and good quality. Whereas it is our belief as this committee that research and development is the heart of each and every government in the whole world. Now, having said that, you have been given an additional task by Treasury of finding out, doing the measurement of the gross domestic products. Now, that is not a small task. That is a mammoth task. It is so huge, because that task, it consists of looking to all microeconomic factors that keep the country's economy stable. And you need to go back and say to the relevant stakeholders, if you're moving this way, this is what I found out. If you're moving this way, this is what I found out. As a result, because that task is not being performed efficiently because of the fiscus that is supposed to be added to execute that task. That's why we're finding ourselves being managed by agencies. They wake up tomorrow morning, they're saying the rand is here. They wake up the other day, they say, because we can't defend it, we don't have an empirical evidence. This government, DM, your government, it doesn't have an instrument
an empirical instrument to defend that debate and say, but you can't tell us that. We stay in this country, these are the outcomes, this is the survey or the survey, whatever the research methodology that was used, these are the, and we show this is happening. So what you're saying, so that at the end of the day, your community, because what is interesting is that your community, the literacy level is not as good as the one for the developed countries. So they capitalize around that and mislead. But having said that, also the government does not have an empirical proven data to defend that. So I am requesting DM that you take this, you discuss it with Honorable Jeff Khatebe. It is the committee's concern, and I'm sure I'm representing everybody here, that there is no way a particular department transfer task to the other department. You know, when you transfer task, it has to be followed by resources, so that at the end of the day, the task is being done, and it is being done competently. The other question is, the CPI, is it still relevant? If the question is, the CPI is no longer relevant, do we have a tentative model? Have you worked on a tentative model that is going to assist us to monitor the inflation rate, the growth, you know, the stability of the currency? Now, it's a worry that such key projects, like what was said by my colleague next to me, can be done in a piecemeal. And as a statistician, I'm sure you will say when you test your data, you check, you say, is this, what is the validity of this? What is this? Because now you are comparing one province out of nine provinces. So already there are limitations in that research. There are limitations, and somebody that is sitting across saying, what are these people doing? But I don't think it is within your means. That's why I'm saying it is within the means of the political leaders to sit and say, the statistician, our own understanding according to the legislation that is the mandate that is given to you, you are in charge of the country's statistic. The whole country, the whole, it could be whatever, you can have 32 or 42 departments, but at the end of the day, you are responsible. Now, how then, because this is our own perception too, it seems like there is so much fragmentation when it comes to R&D. You listen to the police, they come, they give their own statistic. You listen to health, they come, they give their own statistic. You listen to anybody. And then at the end of the day, there is so much disfragmentation, which might end up questioning your research method. What did you do? Why did the SG presented us with this data when the police are saying this thing? Now, I propose that, can you go back to your principal? Because on our third quarter, we will really like to have you presenting a model of coordinating, collaborating the research that happening. It's not a matter of you are trapping on other people's toe. It's not that you are being intrusive, but all what you need is to say, your government must be able to say, indeed, as government, we have got a control, we have got prudential regulations, because they are based on the information that has been proven. Right now, we don't have that. I'm sorry, the chairperson, I'm going to be a bit longer. Yesterday, at DM, the Auditor General gave us the performance of all your divisions, your entities. Now, SG, I see on your slide 3
2015-2016, where you are saying clean audit, why are you underscoring yourself? Because the Auditor General yesterday said they went through your audit, there were some outstanding materials, but these materials were submitted within the time frame, and as a result, you got unqualified with no findings. I mean, as a finance person, that to me is 100 out of 100. And then you come and underscore yourself, and this goes to the media. Clean is less than unqualified with no findings as far as finance is concerned. When you say, I've got clean audit, and then you think that's 100, no, it's not 100 out of 100. It says, in other words, it was unqualified with findings. So that says to you, there is some outstanding. So your CEO of just educator is, I'm saying here because yesterday we saw so many CEOs being females. but this mistake, it cannot be the female, I think it's the male. Now, and then your key projects, the triple P's, which you have mentioned to us, which you have done quite a good work on it. But we will also really request, we know that you don't have the money, but we really request if you can apply your mind with the team and say, let us take, whether you use a secondary statistic data that is available, whether you go for sampling, you'll know better. But just tell us, these newly or old privatization state-owned enterprises, what are their financial and operating performances? How can we improve? Because you see now, this government mustn't believe like we stay for until 100 years. We need to give the country a better model of managing the state-owned. You're talking about the TPP, I've got on it, but also look at the privatization, the privatized firms. English is gone. Privatized firms. Because I was going through, but I can't see the data. Does understand? I know you don't have the money, but I just hope you, when you sit down with your principal, you give them this. The reason being, that your ministry is the heart of government. It is the heart. If the heart stop, everything will stop. What you go and collect the data, you give it to the planners. The planners, they give indicators and key performances. They give it to the departments. Whether the departments do everything or that, we don't know. We talk with them because they see. But you have the heart. You pump. You do everything. So let's have it. But other than that, Chairperson, I must really thank the Statistician General together with the team, all those that are here. We're coming from far, hey? We're coming from far. there were times when we cut your neck and she and wanted to resign, and then we said, you can't resign, sit. But thank you so much, eh? Thank you, Chair.
With matters arising from
yes.
somewhere.
Yes.
Okay. Some of us then, we don't want that. Thanks so much, Honourable Members. From my side, probably is the point that I think it's Honourable Marais raised around the finances. What I would like to know is that those posts that were not filled, were they critical posts or what? Because there's this posture that the Treasury have taken now that they want to get money from somewhere. And if you don't jealously get that money, it will be gone. And then you'll be under-resourced in terms of technical capacity that you desire to have to do your work. The other one will go DM for the ministry now. I would like to strongly suggest that we, if I say we, I mean the ministry, to have a good discussion with COCTA. Because the matter of addresses which relates to municipalities is actually at a national level. COCTA together with the IEC must talk to that in terms of funding, because money must follow functions. Functions can't follow zero, because which means there was budget for that, and where did it go to?
honestly speaking, if we want to deal with the issues of addresses and don't find ourselves on the wrong side of the law, we should deal with that one because it does have a serious implications. We're left with only 1 year away from 2019. Yeah, it's 1 year, 12 months. For me, I don't count 2017. That's one. Two, chair. Yeah, I'm chairing, I've forgotten. I'm an actor anyway. No, but it does help so that I don't get comfortable to the seat, which is a good thing. Hey, self-praising. Okay, you phrased it. The other one is the issue of the sick leave. For me, I would say, honourable members, at DPSA we've got an outstanding presentation of PILA, which I think when we engage with the department, we must take that one so that we give it to the right house. So I'm just assisting so that you don't venture in a space that you not necessarily deal with it. But I'm sure when also DPME makes its presentation also, we'll talk to some issues because also it borders within the lines of what we actually monitor as DPME, as it may, and in these areas. Also the issue of duplication of other provinces doing their own work. And I'm sure in terms of KZN Stats Citizenry Satisfaction Survey, it was more of a pilot one. And how far then, can you just also add on the questions that and when you respond, how far have we influenced other departments also to do the same? I know at one stage you did also indicate that Eastern Cape has its own, that's an wasteful expenditure, so not to duplication of resources. And also it starts then questioning the authenticity of those results, as it may. I'm not saying that you are the best or they are not the best, but I'm saying so far we are most comfortable with their results. That's why also internationally and within our continent, we are the role players in terms of when it comes to the stats space. The other one that I would like to also went DM, now to you, to COCTA also, is the issue of special planning in IDPs of municipalities. That if it's not informed, like you are indigenous policy, you wonder what informs that indigenous policy if they don't use that as a result. Because wall-to-wall boundaries also talks to that, in terms of either economy, education space, young people and all that. For me, I think I must also appreciate good governance ethics. Clean or unqualified audit report with no findings, but also coupled with the predetermined objectives being fulfilled, which because we normally separate the two. I think if you've got a clean, unqualified audit, it should also look at the financials, and that's our role. But also I'd love PM and SG, you'll assist me on this one. When are we going to get that legislative reform? I know it's somewhere there, and why it's staying there? Because next year, we don't want as a portfolio committee to work under pressure. It must come to Parliament. We have been talking about it, and we're waiting very impatiently because you did introduce it at the Finance Committee when you're still reporting in Finance Portfolio Standing Committee. So where is it? Can we get, not necessarily today because then I'm dealing with the future, that when you come back for the second quarter report, give us the roadmap. And I'm sure DM, you'll assist in that respect because also the ministry must play a leading role on that aspect. Thank you, SG. Before that, DM, do you want, or can I take them? Then you'll be the last to make comments. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I'm under pressure from my counterpart, Mr. Matuna, who said, make sure that we have allowed you to go ahead. Don't take a lot of my time. So I'm feeling that pressure. But there is no free lunch, and the team here will have to... mine was just to present. Theirs is to really answer the questions. High impact target and that Celia and the actor will deal with. What is the province by population by province? Kifidwe and the Risenga will deal with that. I'll deal with dangers of technology, but what is the roadmap? Lux will deal with that. The question by Honorable Mutang, I'll deal with that one. On do the ministers hear what the numbers are actually saying. Sick leave, Actari and Celia, we will deal with that. It's there in the numbers, and I realize that we have 30 days sick leave and eight days are on sick leave. That's, I think, a high number. The question of testing and the one that Mamad Gwazan asked, I will deal with that. CPI is relevance and the like. So I'll try and I'll deal with that, but Joe DeBeer will come in. On the question of privatization and the what lessons can be learned from what we did with the building, Actari Henning will deal with that. The IDPs, I'll deal with that, and then the legislative reform, Yandi, will deal with that, and everybody else may come in to, and of course the deputy chair of council, I think on that issue of legislative reform will deal with that. So let me just quickly deal with the dangers of technology, and in fact just highlight that part. But the actual question, which was where are you going to spend more or less, lacks, we'll deal with that. Yes, we need to use technology. And that is why I'm so concerned about it. Because that's our statistics and technology maps on the top right quadrant. It's embedded. You can't do without it. But that is where the danger is, because of lack of governance in that environment. The SDGs are supposed to be executed on the back of data revolution. The UN doesn't have, after our advice, I served on the 25-person team that advised Ban Ki-moon on data revolution. In there we said, establish a global partnership for data, because this is very, very crucial. Second, we said, let us host a regular UN World Data Forum. That's how we got the first World Data Forum, because at the time, Ban Ki-moon said that we should have this in a developing environment. And South Africa, I used my responsibility there to say, well, we will do a few things. One was to have an outreach program, and then on the basis of that outreach program, we actually wooed them to hand over the first World Data Forum. The Secretary General has not established a global partnership for data. Instead, there are volunteers, we have just established that. And they are going to capture governments. That's the problem. And they are going to knock developing world statisticians to ensure that they can advance their own cause. The problem is that participation is not governed by any accountability mechanism in countries. And accountability in countries is governed by governments that by one way or the other get legitimacy. So the lack of legitimacy of that structure is a worrying problem. And it's going to give us problems going forward. And governments are not discussing this. And Chair Risenga was in Spain, where this issue last week was in Spain. And it was only private persons discussing these things that are so crucial of data revolution, of how we use data in collecting. And so we really need to get on top of this issue. It's of crucial importance. So, Lax will talk about IT infrastructure and so on. But just to add, there are complexities there. Your Harvard Business School and tell you that if it is crucial to you, you can't outsource it. Now, the extent to which we work with CETA on these issues, it needs to be looked at absolutely. The discussion, the Statistician General of Canada resigned because of shared services. And because of shared services, he's not able to respond to statistical requirements because he has to go to that one, he has to give them approval so that the technology... So we are in the same space here at CETA. And we need to understand the implications of that on statistics. Because once it's embedded in your systems, you can't outsource it. What can be dealt with are policies, but procurement not. And what choices we make on that procurement. It can't be. So, and of course there are security concerns and everything that is there, and it needs to be discussed to be understood. So this issue of technology is very, very big. It's not a small thing. Lux will talk about the kinds of what we think we are going to do and how much we are going to spend. Madam Mutang, yes, do politicians hear what we are doing? I mean, let me first blame myself as a statistician that initially we would throw the data over the fence and say, Honorable Rutimana Mela, see to finish and deal with that statistic. It's not a healthy situation to do that. Now, of course, we continue now to release this data. It causes schizophrenia. And there are 230 statistics that we release every day. As a politician sitting there, the politician gets schizophrenia about what is the meaning of these numbers. You need to weave on a quarterly basis, on a monthly basis, and create meaning on these numbers. That's what we are trying to do now. So that while we release one after the other every day, there is a template that says, this is the temperature. Worry or don't worry. I think it's important to realize that as one stops throwing the statistics over the fence, you are actually using a saw where now you have to work on the serrated side of the blade. And that means interaction with politics. Therein lies the danger of statistics. And that's why there needs to be legislative reform to allow that interplay of the serrated side of the blade, because that's where the cutting comes in, so that statistics becomes useful to policy. But as it becomes useful to policy, then it becomes threatened too. And unless you have a legislative reform in that space, you run a very serious risk of abuse of statistics. So that's the part. But I think we are trying to do as much we can to enable politicians to understand the dangers. For instance, if you look at how you went about local government, it came after the fees, hashtag fees must fall, but none of the parties talked about education. That corresponded very much with public opinion, where education was not important. When we went to citizens and asked priorities, education was number 18 in the face of hashtag fees must fall. Neither politicians nor the public talked about this thing. Now it's with us again. The deeper analysis that we did on drivers of poverty, it shows years of schooling is critical. And if we don't address that, years of schooling and unemployment will plunge this country. Yet it was not on the agenda. So how do you deal with real needs and perceived needs and enrich the political discourse that makes this country move forward? That's what is at stake. And I've been articulating this issue quite often. And we need the space to discuss it and sit down with statisticians to say, here is where they actually feel seats. And that goes to prioritization. What we prioritize. And multidimensional poverty tells us what should be prioritized. Of course, it's a difficult political process. So if education is important, is not prioritized as important, it will not feature in the IDPs. Not going to. and it will not feature in the National Development Plan because society has not seen it as important. And you'll not be voted into power if you talk about this thing that nobody sees as important. So, what do you do? So how do we elevate it to be important as, and it becomes a national discourse? And therefore, whoever wants to be voted into power will say, how are you going to deliver on that thing that we have agreed as for a priority, which is education? It turns the discourse around. And that's the beauty of the of this statistics. So, the question of GDP, yes, we agree, Mayor Dubazana, really, it has to be used. And this is what we are trying to open it up. And as the chair has suggested, we'll be back here to table what needs to be done in that space. We'll come with the integrated supply and use tables, the growth accounting framework, the social accounting matrix, the ZIF, and saying, how does this growth accounting framework lead to prioritization in government, and what are the things that, and because those are based on the data that we already have. So it's not something that is a model. No, no, it's the data that we have. We push it in there, and then it has to be at the disposal of National Development Planning, at the disposal of DPME, so that they should ask the difficult questions. And then priorities can then be done that way. Otherwise, if it comes athletically through a department that says you want this, another department says that we want that, and you don't see the total picture, you don't know whether Paul is robbing Peter to pay. Indeed, coordination, and that instrument helps to show data gaps and the need for coordination of the information, and therefore informs the research. It may not be the state that runs the research, but the research agencies now can start harvesting from that framework what the research agenda of the country should be. You are correct. The question of critical posts, yes, the posts are critical, and we are saying, you see, the trainer was asking us to freeze posts. And we said, no, but we are in a process of transition. If we just freeze posts that are not filled, it doesn't help. Leave us with the structure that we have. Let us discuss a reasonable way forward on this so that we don't freeze posts. Because once you freeze the posts, then you distort the structure. So it becomes a problem. And so we are in discussion with the colleagues at Treasury to deal with this. Yes, critical surveys have not been funded. We know the consequences, and we had to endure the sacrifices. But it looks like those sacrifices have not been realized. Perhaps we need to fall over the cliff first to understand what has to happen. Because, I mean, it has been actually keeping the post low. Perhaps that's why people overwork. So the IES is not going to be run, and the LCLC, yes. But we have reached a point where we cannot move further, and the dangers are real. And of course, yes, I mean, the clean audit, I was told that it is clean, and I couldn't refuse whether I'm told it's clean. And the auditor general inviting me and saying, you are one of the clean audits. What have I to say? Mema Dubazana, I can't refuse that. Colleagues, when they come, receive them. So legislative reform, and we'll talk to that. So, Madam Chair, when we went to talk to investors in New York last week with the Minister of Finance and the JSC and other, I was invited to join the delegation to represent the numbers that count for the nation, a conduit of trust. It was very heartwarming to hear from the investors saying that of all emerging markets, the numbers that come from South Africa are trusted. And I was there to represent that. I said, well, I don't have a problem whether we get upgraded or downgraded. That's not my responsibility as the statistician general. What I'm responsible for is making sure that the numbers that count for the nation are trustworthy because they are driven by people who are qualified and represent the true picture of South Africa. At a personal level, of course, I would like to commit suicide if South Africa gets downgraded. But in my professional capacity as a statistician general, I'm agnostic. It doesn't matter which way it goes. Thanks.
Okay. Are you a CFO? She's not a CFO.
She's a head of strategy.
Who is a CFO?
There he is.
No, Mandla, I mean, you were right. But the 40% is not doing so well then. On a lighter note.
Yeah, so see, she's been waiting in this committee with statisticians and predictions are always right.
Thank you, Chair. I will just respond to the 7 high impact targets. We have identified those specifically that relates to the publication in the core areas, that is of economic and population statistics and social statistics. I'm not sure if you want me to mention a few of them. I can just say we had two delay targets, or actually not achieved as in the annual report, in our health and vital statistics area, and the main reason is we had 3 of our key senior people leaving within a space of probably 1 or 2 or 3 months, which had a huge impact on the delivery of some of our key targets there. Then also in terms of we set ourselves out to publish research reports on government's socioeconomic planning applications of estimation models. Those targets were specifically not achieved due to reprioritization towards development of these planning tools and so on. So it's also critical for us. And then the last one, we had a delay in the start of the CS initially, although we know in the next financial year we've achieved our target, but our target set in the previous financial year in relation to the CS, there was some delay in the process, which is a high impact that would have resolved in a delay in the release of the CS, but we've managed to reprioritize resources towards that. So on the one hand, we didn't achieve, however, it's high impact, but through the reprioritization, we managed to achieve some of the other high impact targets. Thank you.
Thank you so much. The next better man. Is it not a corporate services that is coming?
Yes, it is, ma'am. Thank you for allowing me to claim my space. Good day, Chair. Good day, honourable members. With regard to the people with disabilities, they range from level 4 right up to level 13. The actual data we are more than willing to share with yourselves and send through at a later stage. We have them across the board. And that's permanent. Not temporary. In the temporary phase, we also have people with disabilities. Our temporary employment is mainly at the field worker level, but even there we concentrate to get the 2% target. With regards to the cuts, I think SG mentioned that. The one thing, SG, not to add after you have spoken, but I'm sure you would appreciate that we need to point out that we have a 57 million cut in warm bodies. The money has been taken by National Treasury already. We do not have the mandate as StatsSA and any other government department besides the DPSA to go into the chambers to negotiate these kind of or the strategies to reduce warm bodies within the public service. You asked a question, Honourable Member, with regards to when does this hit us. I hope that it answers you. It hits us in the next 5 months. With regards to the PPPs, I think the question evolved more around privatization and their performance, etc. I think SG drives us that he wants a paper, and we're having sessions currently with the National Treasury. Yes, she talks about the case study, but you'll have to give me not just a week off, but a year off after having a week off after 4 years of running this PPP. With regards to the PPP, we're having sessions with National Treasury to look at how we improve the PPP guidelines in terms of not just process but also the governance matters around it, and how to negotiate value for money, and making sure that you don't outsource the ownership of a PPP conclusion to service providers who have no interest in the department's functioning and their core principles as government as well. In terms of the post, SG has answered that. I think that covers me. Easy job today.
Leave what? So it has to be easy. It's, which unit is that now? I know CFO. No, ICT. Yes, because it will be followed by CFO.
Honorable Chair and members of the Portfolio Committee, good morning. My name is Lutolo Langs. The question around the audit committee's red flag. Yes, honourable member, the red flags were actually raised by us to the audit committee during quarter two and quarter three of the financial year in review. We had incident within the environment that made us to pay attention and to relook at how the environment was providing support to the organization. I tell the SG these are textbook problems that we are experiencing within the IT environment. I think there's four issues causing those. One is the legacy systems and the aging infrastructure, the skill set that we have within the IT environment, the lack of future orientation planning within the IT environment, but lastly what I call a lack of operating model. What that means is previously the IT department used to be a computer spaza shop of delivering computers, but with the review or with the modernization of NSOs, we had left behind in transforming the IT department to be rather a strategic business partner. They also touched about the role of technology in the future within the NSO space, but that's what we hadn't envisaged. So we, and then the other question you raised, that what impact would they have that on the new building, and what impact would it have on our modernization agenda to the statistical value chain? The red flags were raised mid-quarter two and mid-quarter three. We then had time to mitigate or to address them for the new building. We successfully moved every IT environment that we have from four different buildings to one building internally ourselves without outsourcing that. And there hasn't been any major IT challenges since that. So the impact has been mitigated or the danger to them it has been mitigated for the new building. Impact on our work that we do from a statistical value chain collection. Luckily, we had picked up these incidents in quarter two before we went to the community survey. We had addressed that before the community survey as well. The community survey was successfully completed without any IT incident as well. So that as well has been addressed on that front. But the other question is that, are we going to need money? Yes, we are going to need funding, extra funding, because we have identified a transformational wave from moving from being an IT spaza shop that delivers computers to rather be a strategic business partner to the organization in terms of modernizing its statistical value chain. If we don't get extra funding, I'm sitting next to the CFO. In fact, we were talking about this last night about how much do I need. If we don't get funding, SG, I'm unfortunately an actor in this space, but I am a student of frugal engineering. If we don't get funding, we will have to relook within the system. How do we do more with less, and where can we sweat assets and value within the business, and how do we unlock the amount, which is possible to do. That's what we've been doing in the last 10 months. Then I guess the next or the last departing point is, so where are we as a business unit, as a department, as a business unit within the department? In the last 10 months, I can assure you that we've managed to build a responsive IT environment. The results of this community survey speak for themselves. The results of us moving successfully to a new building speaks for themselves. What we do need to do now is to address what I called the future orientation of the environment, and also building an operating model. Because as the other question was asked about the dangers of technology, if we don't get on top of our IT landscape to support statistical collection, private parties are going to take over the role of NSOs. I thank you.
Money.
Okay, Money, I think with regard to my area, this is touched on it already, but I can just emphasize that with regard to AES, LSS being priority projects, we have been requesting money. We've been engaged a year after, it's not a new item. And now it's been escalated to SDG level, to that level. So there's still engagement going on, as the SGS indicated. So I think that's the only thing that I just wanted to emphasize on.
Now it has been escalated to DM level. Is here. Okay. Now, anyone that wants communications and it's
I think
just remind us your unit or your department or division that you are heading for a memory. Thanks.
Thank you very much, ma'am. My name is Kifile Masiteng, responsible for population and social statistics. The question from Honorable Marie, in terms of the current population, after the estimation of the population in Census 2011 that was estimated at 51.8 million, we publish every year at the middle of the year the total number of the population using what we call the mid-year population estimate. And according to the mid-year population estimates of 2016 that was published in August this year, the population was estimated at 55.9 million. And the provincial distribution was 13.4 million in Gauteng, 11.1 million approximately from KwaZulu-Natal, 7.7 million and 61,000 people are in the Eastern Cape. And then we have Free State 2861. We have Limpopo at 5.8 million people. Mpumalanga has about 4.3 million people. Northern Cape has got 1.1 million people. Northwest has got 3.7 million people. And the Western Cape has got 6.3 million people. And yes, the next census will be in 2021. Thank you, sir.
Are we done? Yes, I think
so. All right, one more. Thank you, Chair.
Oh, you.
Yes, my name is Yandi Becheni. I'm responsible for the National Statistics System, which means I am responsible for coordination. Now, my response is on legislative reform. You were asking, Chair, if you are going to be coming back here with a roadmap on how this is going to unfold. There's been a lot of work that's been done already. We did stakeholder consultations at national and province levels. We have done some study tours around this. We are now busy with comparative analysis between our statistics law and laws of other countries as they relate to statistics. And we're also looking at our own laws internally in the country that deal with data and see how this will have an impact on our legislative reform. So we will be coming back here in the next meeting and we'll be presenting the roadmap because we're trying to finish the drafting of the actual amendments by the end of February in 2017. Thank you.
Chair, just a quick one in relation to the provincial breakdown. One thing that we are observing is that Gauteng province is continuing to grow. The most populous province was KwaZulu-Natal in the past, but Gauteng is now leading, and it has got a clear of more than 2 million people lead. over KwaZulu-Natal and the migration, internal migration in the country, as well as people coming from outside, continue to go to Gauteng. Thanks.
But also you are not adding Uma Dubazana because she's both KZN and Gauteng. I'm not too sure how do you calculate her. But on a lighter note, okay. The last one.
We calculate here where we find him.
Moving target. Okay, it's your chance now.
Thank you, Chair. Joe Rebier from Economic Statistics. Just to add on the question around whether the CPI is still relevant. Internationally, the best practice is to update the CPI every 5 years. In the past, we've done so with a 4-year cycle, and we are busy changing the weights for the CPI and the PPI at the moment. It will be published in February 2017 for the reference month of January 2017 with weights and a rebased period for December of this year. So we are able to stick to the 4-year cycle, which in my mind ensures that the CPI is relevant. However, if we do not get the funding for the IES, the CPI will become irrelevant in roughly 3-4 years from now because we won't have any information to change the base year as well as the weights. So we will not be tracking changes in the expenditure patterns of households, and then your CPI will become incorrect. Just to also assure members that internationally countries are very concerned whether the price statistics and national accounts, GDP, is accurate. And to that extent, the International Monetary Fund introduced what they call the special data dissemination standard that countries must prescribe to. And we submit information through to the IMF. We give them our sources and methods and the like. And South Africa is one of the few countries on the continent that are indeed meeting the SDDA standards. That should be a reassurance that our CPI and GDP is of good quality. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you, sir. You know, why I ask whether the CPI was still relevant, it's because the SC said the IES is not being funded. Now, my question was, how are they going to achieve what he says to me? Because the basket is so full of products, and they need to weigh them. And how are you going to do that? DM, yeah? I think you need to answer this one. Because it is very critical that we need to know why. Why was that not given an allocation within the vote with 2015-2016? Why? Especially when we're left with a few months to go and do the weighing of the product within the basket.
I did make an undertaking. My problem is that when I SG, we work with time. And unfortunately, this program had time. And when you are left with minus zero. But I'll request before DM that whatever second thought additional information that you would like members to have, can you just give us through the administration in writing, in particular the provincial population stats, because also it has to be broken down in terms of their areas, economical and all those things in terms of youth and all, so that probably there was a specific province that the member wanted to know so that they can have that. But please don't send us hard copies, just send it electronically. It will help. Over to you, DM. No, I was politely shutting him down.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Acting Chairperson. The first thing is that I think we all agree that the relevance of the CPI that's not debatable. But I wanted the SG to respond as to why was money not allocated, budgeted for, in terms of this. I think what's happening now is that we're looking at the goods that are being weighted, because obviously those change over time, and I think that there are a whole range of other things that people determine as necessary as their needs, and therefore influences what they spend their money on. And obviously that has an impact on inflation and a whole range of other things that we determine our prices on. So I think it may help if we get to know, even if it's in writing from the SG and from Stasis, as to why did we not allocate the resources, and now we end up funding this project from savings. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that I think the DPME will speak to the numbers in relation to IDPs, Pluma, and all of that. I think let's leave it to that process. We'll also take up the issue of with COGDA, with whoever is responsible at COGDA. I think Deputy Minister Nell is responsible. Yeah, so we'll take that up. The tricky part about education and elections, I think, was more because these were local government elections, and it's probably not seen as a local government competence. And I know we had that discussion with the SG. Then the final point, I think the briefing on the legislative reform should come to the portfolio committee as soon as possible. I think it's a discussion that was presented some time back, and the importance of this is that we have to make Stats SA the institution not only of choice but mandatory in terms of reliance of data and all of that. I think that's why this part is important. So hopefully that briefing will come here. Are we listening? Yes, we are, Honorable Motau, and I think we should all listen, because it means the resources should be directed to where the problems are, and the role of data and StatsSA in that regard is to guide us as to where we need more resources. Part of the migration from the other provinces into Gauteng is essentially because people follow development, they follow resources, and that's why there has been emphasis in the current administration towards rural development. As to whether some of the interventions are working or not, that's something else. So, but I think we are listening, and I think the SG has been shouting as many times and as often as possible in terms of where the challenges are. Thank you.
From you, my treasure, just to give us that response, and the rest will follow then in writing.
Okay, thank you very much, Madam Chair. Now that you have given me an opportunity, the remark by the Honourable Member that they didn't get the reports, we confirmed that 60 were delivered, tabled and delivered, the hard copies, but we will leave these hard copies with her so that she doesn't get disadvantaged in terms of getting access to the data. But on the question that you asked, we've been asking for money from Treasury on this repeatedly. And what we did was to make do, because we knew the consequences if we didn't get there. But perhaps we should shout it much louder so that they understand that this is a resource that is required. So we've been sacrificing all the time. We are in discussion with them again on the same matter, that we are putting the country at risk if the IES and the CPI is not funded. IES and the LCS is not funded.
Thank you so much. Probably let's dispose with the issue of documents. What we have agreed while I'm still an ECA is that any documents that will arrive on Monday for Wednesday meeting, we're not going to deal with those items. So you'll fly from wherever you're flying from for nothing, because we must give members at least the latest mid-Thursday, because we submit the program like
2 months or so before. If there are any changes also, we also communicate. It will assist members also to have ample time to read the documents and engage on them. And also if they wish to consult with their political parties, they do that. Or if there are any other additional information they need, they will request on time so that we don't ask them and then you give us a on-toll response. Like so that, don't worry on that one. We'll manage it and we're getting there. And general, not you only, just general with all the departments that report in this portfolio committee. Other than that, members, we will engage with also at a portfolio committee level for our also decision when we are preparing a report, that will engage with COCTA, our inter-portfolio committee relations then needs to kick in. And also we did also agree yesterday that we'll also invite Treasury, which are more or less similar, so that they can also educate us on what policy or money bill they are using when they just in the middle of the year or in the middle of the quarter they take funds. What does that mean? What does that mean then in change of the business plan in terms of the predetermined objectives as it may? Because it does also, when the audit comes, then it becomes an issue. You can explain, but you would have not done it at the expected time. With that, Stats SA, I convey your appreciation to DG to allow you to be the first, but also we are the standalone department as it may. We are not, but still, next time you'll be the last to present so that also we treat each other equally as a team. What do they take first, money? Thanks so much. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Let's just have a 5 minute health break so that they can excuse themselves.
Yeah. Thank you.